Welcome, I'm Vince Kelvin, and tonight a very unique topic, how to be a better F-U-C-K buddy. How to be a better F-U-C-K buddy. It came from a question we got in the group, and, you know, there's plenty ways and choices and so on. So I wanted to make sure that I would bring about a little bit of light based on my experience, hopefully that can serve you, on how you can improve a relationship that, you know, has certain privileges, but where maybe there's no sense of, okay, we're in love. Somebody was asking a question in the group about that. So I think number one, it's important to understand that we're not necessarily in those relationships going to commit in any special way. Okay, it's open. That's one thing. That on the other hand, we're also not going to necessarily love each other in a way where, oh, you're the only one for me. But that does not mean that we should be uncaring, okay? So the remedy from the get-go will be to make sure that it's rich. It should be a little adventure, but not a dry adventure. And usually, you know, there's an appeal for people to go that route. So maybe you score high at the level of the other person wants to be with you because they find you physically attractive. That's great. And there is more to having a great time together. That doesn't necessarily mean we have to go on an official date or go see a movie and so on. But watch the other extreme to just gather for the act and purposely, you know, act overly detached. Okay, so recommendation number one is you don't have to commit. Make sure you do that with people who are looking for that themselves. And nevertheless, don't make it dry. Make it rich. Turn it into an adventure of the mind. Even if you're in one location, even if there's no activity around, make it more rich. Recommendation number one. I don't know if there's any thoughts or questions about that, but you want to make sure that you make it rich. Number two, we're all humans, so make sure that you don't create buyer remorse. Oftentimes, the sexual attraction upon completion, as there's no longer, you know, that urge because we took care of it, could lead to buyer's remorse. I wanted to do it. Why did I do it? So add an element of validating why we did it. Make sure that, you know, it doesn't have to be brutally dry. I always remember once I had a quick adventure with somebody I never was going to see again because they were flying back to Japan. And we were joking around because initially when they saw my hair, they thought that maybe I was a hairstylist. We were at a hotel and they spoke no English. So they called me jokingly Mr. Shampoo. And the hotel was giving away little shampoo bottles. So I took a little piece of paper and I wrote gift from Mr. Shampoo. And I wrapped up the shampoo and put it in their luggage. So even though I was never going to see them again, it would come that moment when they would open their luggage and see that little gift. Now, the third element of it is it will also help us to assess what kind of candidate and a quality, whether we're really seeking rich, long-term love that will last, or a fun, brief adventure, is that of being with somebody that's easygoing with us. And it's easy to have the habit of fairly rapidly complaining or you know, nagging and so on. So it could also be that the other person is just saying that because I've been in those situations, and I think that if we backtrack for a second, as a quick summary before we move on to our potential next question or topic, would be when it would reach that place. That was the original question. The person is saying, oh, but I want to do more than just see you and make love. Usually that happens for one of three reasons. Number one, it's lacking a sense of an enhanced adventure. So for me, when I started to correct that, you know, even if you meet somewhere, she comes to your place, you enter the room, next thing you're going to do is have sex, and then the person departs, you can still make that richer. You can say, welcome to my palace. Nobody followed you, right? And turn it into like a mini movie for fun and enrich. And make sure also that you're not so guarded in your heart. Number two, watch buyer's remorse. Oftentimes it's a byproduct of you did not open enough because you were afraid that if you opened more, then either the person would want more or so on. So it's okay to open your heart a little bit. If you don't want to say, I love you, I care for you, say, I feel you. Stop being so good because you feel too good. Okay? And oftentimes, if those two are in place, then the only reason why the person would go, I don't know, I want more, is that they're a person that no matter what they have, they go back to complaining. And if that's the case, then make sure you don't take it personally and that you remain being the higher solution. Also, don't take things literally, you know. Through time, learn that maybe your best bet is also hear the person and let them say what they want to say. Because oftentimes they're not sure and they want a confirmation from us. But one thing that really is helpful and I would encourage you to do it. And sorry, I wasn't extremely eloquent with that last sentence. Let me apply myself. So make sure that you validate a little bit more, that you encourage. And here's an example of validation. You could say, you know what? So many people complicate so much. So many people, you know, they would say, oh, but I don't want a relationship. But then I want a relationship. And so, you know what I most like about you? You're very daring. You know how to have a great time. And oftentimes, they're not saying, I wanted to do more. Because I've been in the situation where the person says, well, you know, we're having amazing sex all the time, but I also want to do more things. And then I go, okay, why not? Let's do more things. And then we do more things, and it doesn't change a thing. Okay? And then I realize that it's not what they were after. What they're saying is you got to be a little bit more emotionally available. Okay? Because there's a difference between commitment, I only want to be with you, commitment, devotion, and emotional availability. And if you want to be a better F buddy, make sure that you're also a little bit more emotionally available. Unless you have something incredible at stake, then they won't mind. And be certain once again that you pick the correct candidates. It leads me to my second point tonight. At the same time, I hope to soon take questions along the same line in any form of relationships, however we relate. I was in an interview not too long ago, and somebody said, what's the difference between playing games and having game? I think the difference is simple. The difference is we play games when we're afraid. We have game when we are in faith. So we don't want to play games with people. Some people will. We shouldn't be sensitive to other people playing games. Playing game is not very potent. It's a lower strategy, a coping strategy, as we would learn in any form of good psychology. So oftentimes, we don't realize that we're playing games with people, and they're your best bet. And I thought to myself, wouldn't that be amazing? We're all sensitive as human beings. Now, you know, if I'm sensitive and I do something out of a projection of my own sensitivity, that's different than what I'm going to talk about. What I talk about is knowing that we're all pretty sensitive, and if I can help another person to be a little less sensitive, assuming that I'm not doing it for a sensitive reason. Sensitive reason could be, I'm not sure that they're going to like me, so then I'm kind of a little nicer to them. That's off. That's playing games. It's rooted in fear, right? But if instead I'm self-assured, I'm having fun, we're having great sex, and I know everybody's a little sensitive, and I decide to make a little bit of a difference, and I go, hey, you know, I hope you feel good about this. I know it's never easy, but, you know, you're a cool person. I really appreciate you. I just wanted to say that. Or I notice that the other person is a little unsure. Call it. Open your heart from a place of strength. When you got guts, you can open your heart. If you don't have the support of your guts, opening your heart might be a little risky. So then we play games. We're halfway through our call. I want to make sure that we keep it fairly brief, but potent. So we've learned ways to be a better F-buddy. So it's not just in one direction, and some who don't really do that or don't seek that don't relate. Also the idea of, you know, we're beyond the age of playing game, and actually at no age we should be playing games. We should play fun games, but not games with each other. So when you embrace your solidity, don't be afraid, because it's not solidity if we're afraid, to also, not as a people pleaser or being afraid of being confrontational, to just kind of be the greater healing force in the world that knows it's hard for everybody. Everybody's going to get a little sensitive. I'm going to be wise. I'm going to be calibrated. I'm not going to exercise that with the person who has criminal tendencies and will totally take advantage of it, or person who's really stubborn and would fight and attack anybody. But if the person is fairly genuine, I'm going to help them a little bit by opening my heart and checking with them. I'm going to avoid, you know, making the harsh comment or just joking and not saying, I hope you're okay. It's part of the art to open our heart. It's part of the art to open our heart. And if any one of you are working pronunciation exercises, well, bingo, we got our next one. Everybody go 10 times. It's part of the art to open our heart. That's art. It's hard to say it's part of the art to open our heart. Okay. That was my best attempt to be funny. No, I'm not a comedian. And meanwhile, do we do the little dance? Open the floor for a potential question? Wait for somebody else to ask the question? Or will somebody take a chance to interact, talk? What do you think of what you just heard? Did it make you think of something? Did it make you wonder about something else? Was any aspect of what was said not very clear? How can I best hopefully be of assistance through our time and my presence tonight and your presence? And remember, you would need to unmute by pressing *6 unless you mute it directly from your phone.
The art, purest art, comes from the heart. That helps, Vince. Thanks.
Very good. And no, also, I don't know if you wanted to add something, but I know the question was a two-part question. So the second part also is we got to know how to align how we go about it with what we want. And we talked about that in great deal during the weekend on long-term relationships. Once you know what you want, make sure that your ways are aligned with it. What I often witness from the outside is person is young, they're fun, but they're almost treating it like, you know, like they've been living with somebody for 30 years. So there, lighten up. Open your heart, lighten up. That's one important aspect. So make sure that the way you go about it is aligned with what you want. Too often people in the short term act like it's the long term. Oh, should I stay with her and so on? The way you ask the question, it sounds like you're debating because you guys own property together and you got three kids. Right there, I think it's simpler, it's lighter. Now, if you stay a little bit longer, I also witness the opposite, taking it too lightly. Hey, that person has showed up in your life for over a year. You know, that's interesting commitments. Number two, okay, so number one, you got to make sure that you are not off many one short-term little fun affairs, but treat it like they're looking for the love of their lives or vice versa. Clean house a little bit. Two, watch, because if we don't know how to esteem highly of ourselves, we could easily sell ourselves short. When we sell ourselves short, we end up in situations or we candidate that are not the best for what we want. So know how to esteem of yourself at the highest. It may not happen in one shot or completely forever, but there comes a time when you got to decide that you are done. Done with waiting for the day when you feel ready to finally be with somebody that you would want to be with. Don't postpone. Know what type you like and what kind of adventures you like, and grant yourself access to that here, now, today, and forge that habit. Nothing less. We have a couple more minutes. What else would you like to talk about, address? There's always so much. A common mistake we make on a daily basis is we become dependent. First dependence we got to watch out for is extreme necessity. Most people, when, you know, they hear what I do, yeah, help people with love and romance, and, you know, you... The first mistake many make is to think that you get good with that only through that. The other mistake most make is that you get good elsewhere and that will take care of that. So there's those who preach falsely that, oh man, if you got game, that's all good. That's all that matters. Well, you know, if you got game but you don't really have high self-esteem, and you're not really nurturing yourself, your body, your life, you're not that pleasant to be around, you lack ethics, life, awareness and experience, that's probably going to come a little short. So then there's the other extreme, those who go, no, you know, you don't need that stuff, just you take care of your life, what you need is lifestyle. And, you know, I coach celebrities, I coach top athletes that still were not doing well in love and romance, because it's not wealth that will do it. It may contribute, but at the same time, what then would be the higher combination? The higher combination is I do my best to really have solid game. I understand the dynamic and I thrive with it for the greater good of all. And I also thrive in my life. For me, I always treat it, and I come from the school of thrive with the majors of your life, with no omission, and expand it like the blossoming of a beautiful lotus or a flower. So we could depend on extreme necessity, and we want to avoid that. So, you know, even if you're not breaking up with someone right now, or they're about to leave and you need an answer right now, or there's not that amazing opportunity tomorrow and you want to know, it doesn't matter. We're all now, and it's an extreme necessity no matter what. Because oftentimes, you know, we go, oh, I don't have really much. Don't be dependent on necessity. Do not, number two, be dependent on doing. Well, I didn't do much. I'll call you again when I'll have more questions. That's a pitfall. You will do more when you participate more. It's a two-way street. For me, my mindset is, if you didn't do much, let's do a lot right now. And then also don't be dependent last on situations. Okay? We don't need a situation to formulate a question. So we were just talking about the overall tendency. Some preach, oh man, you know, what you really need is game. Yes, you also need a greater life at all levels, and you work on both, and they're one and the same to me. Then watch the dependence, because oftentimes no question comes up. It's because we could be dependent on necessity, but necessity is there no matter what. We could be dependent on doing, even if you didn't do much, even if you're not in a relationship, you can still ask and grow. And number three, on a specific situation. That being said, we got 5 more minutes. Who will speak up? Since it's the essence of the art. You would first need to unmute.
Hey, Vince, you said something that was interesting. It's been on my mind, and you talked about how money doesn't do it. But obviously it is a significant part, and statistics show, you know, that relationships that are suffering from money can fall apart more rapidly. With that being said, how important is it in our interactions with women, and when do we actually use the money to enhance our relationship?
It's a very interesting question. Okay, first, thank you for the question. Let's bring about some clarification. You know, it's interesting because initially, one of the first person I shared the stage with was a lady who had written a book saying that the book was about how the number one enemy to any relationship is money. She had a point. The challenge is we tend to favor one side, usually. So right there, what does that mean? That means that money in a relationship is a major issue. That means that if you have a lot of money and, you know, you're not self-assured, you are not a good judge of character, you don't trust that you can manifest women for yourself or a relationship or a man if you're a woman, money is going to be a problem. But from the other end, because people will take advantage of your money, people will want to be with you for your money. Not everybody's like that. So right there, the more money somebody has, the more gain they need to have, the better they must be at the art of relationship. It goes in all sorts of directions. Another thing that I frequently have seen is the man is well off, and in his own life, that's a major measurement for him. Many equal superiority to wealth, which is false. It helps, you know? I mean, if a family member is in need of financial support for medical reasons, it's a wonderful thing to have money. But overall, it does not make an individual superior at all. So there's also many in a relationship that because they have the means, they kind of overpower the other person, they demean the other person, they become a little abusive or at best neglectful. Okay? There's so many relationships where one makes a little bit more money, but they are at the mercy of neglecting the other person in the relationship. So, you know, the statistics, they're interesting, but what is the real angle? What is the real point? What is the catalyst? The catalyst is this. Money is a force. Money is a force, meaning it's something we cannot escape. We could be brilliant, have a brilliant idea, but, you know, we don't really have the means to bring that idea to fruition. There's an alternative to that. We have the power of influence. We have done the work. We are fully aligned within. So money of itself is an element that's, I wouldn't say neutral because it's extremely potent. It's neutrally potent. It's potently neutral. Okay? So what's important is that I will first work on me, my emotions, and my image of myself. Me, my emotions, my image of myself. So I will know that I'm deserving and I will, that I don't depend on having money to bring about whom I want. I will work on myself, so if I do have money, I manage it better. I will. At no point we say, you know, don't do well everywhere. It's more of a matter of attitude, if it makes sense. For me, I always say 360. Not as a person, because as a person, you know, I just try my best every day. But as a teacher, I've noticed the tendency. I couldn't recognize that tendency in me until I saw it repeatedly in others. And a great way to evolve and avoid blaming the rest of the world or depending on the rest of the world to change so I can do better, which is false. Changes in the world are not going to make me do better or worse. My attitude will, my mindset, my beliefs. Keeping it simple, wrapping it up. The tendency is to constantly move in one direction. That can be helpful, but that's why personally I often say 360, meaning the principle applies in many, many directions, okay? So at no point I, for matters like that, will create an either or. It's not a choice, okay? If we only move in one direction, we'll accumulate in that direction, but it will come short in the other direction. So if I only accumulate money, but I don't accumulate emotional intelligence, gratitude, love for others, and so on, that's going to come short. If I only, like, you know, have life skill and people skills, but I neglect money, that too will come short. So to keep it simple, money is, you know, a very powerful aspect of life. It's neutral and can be very detrimental at the same time. How specifically in the area of relationships? Well, money brings a lot of worry. So if we don't have any, we'll be probably too worried to interact with people, to meet people, or to sustain a healthy relationship. Money brings about means if we're in a relationship and we can never have, never do, and so on. Is going to come in the way. Money doesn't bring great relationships. Money tends to bring trouble in relationships. You know, growing up, I played in a lot of bands, and that's the first time that I heard the expression like, wait until the money arrives. How's the band going? It's going very good. Wait until the money arrives, okay? If you ever cash in pretty big, watch how quickly your friends, even your family, might get a little weird. Money makes people weird. So 360, grow, evolution. I finish with this, you know. One of the greatest pieces of advice that I've ever came across was the practice of excellence, the idea of practice excellence. So if I practice excellence, I'm not going to neglect my finances. If I practice excellence, I'm not going to neglect my love for money matters. If I practice excellence, I'm going to go 360 and grow everywhere. watch what we read. We read a statistic, might be interesting, but the one tendency of the world, which is there, you want to know a powerful skill of influence, whether it's for therapy or negotiation, you want to be able to help people better. One tendency we all have is to move in one direction at the mercy of the other. It's ingrained. And if we can detect that and correct that. I also think that one great piece of advice when it comes to money is our sense of financial freedom should also include the emotional aspect, meaning I will do my best to have the means needed so I don't have to worry about money, but I will also divorce from worrying and ruminating at night, okay? And your best bet is to really, really thrive in every possible way. I hope you enjoyed tonight's call. We got quite a few events coming up. Your best bet is always to, you know, contact me. Yeah, my email is vince@seductioncoaching.com, vince@seductioncoaching.com. And I realize I always give my phone number when I'm on interviews and so on, but I don't give it here. 1-323-309-3219, 1-323-309-3219. Reach out. Okay, I like to open my heart. We're all humans. We're here to help each other. If your concern is that you're going to be helpful to others, but they may take advantage of you, then raise your sense of esteem of yourself because you'll partner up with better people. If your concern is that you do that and they still take advantage of you, learn that you don't depend on others to be successful. You can associate. You want to be a great team player. You know, it takes more than one person always. But at the same time, don't make yourself dependent on others. So for that, you got to take charge, take responsibility. And then there's the majors of life. The majors of life are like a garden. You cannot neglect any one of them. So address all the majors of life and find the common ground. And the common ground, I stated tonight, is the practice of excellence. Thank you. That was very rich. And thank you for the question.